Shattering your notions of the possible. It's Infinite Horizons Radio. Good evening, listeners. The moon sits high in the sky. My neighbor's car sits high on some cinder blocks. And it's time once again for Infinite Horizons Radio. My name is Michael McMurtaugh. My guest tonight, Mr. Andrew Wiebing, a herpetologist who has what he claims to be a remarkable story. His research has taken him in some strange and exciting directions, unusual for herpetology. And he's bringing some valuable new information about amphibians right here to Infinite Horizons Radio. Andrew Wiebing, welcome to the show.
Hello, Michael. Thank you for having me here today.
Andrew, it's such a pleasure. So set up a little bit for me who you are. Tell me about Andrew Wiebing.
My name is Andrew Wiebing. I am from Bella Coola, British Columbia. I've lived there my entire life. And I am a herpetologist who went to the University of Victoria. Pretty good school for herpetology. If anyone's interested, say hello to Professor Smarl. For any listeners out there. And I'm kind of here. I have a very special specimen with me that will blow away everyone's minds. However, she's currently sleeping, and when she wakes up, I fed her some frogs. This frog eats other frogs, so it's very confusing, but I fed her some other frogs, and she'll wake up eventually, and then I can introduce you to her.
You have a live frog here with you in the studio?
Oh, yes, I have many live frogs. Let me be clear. I am surrounded currently by many, many frogs. As the one frog who I am specifically studying feeds on other frogs.
Huh, a sort of cannibalistic frog. Well, that in itself, I think, would be news. I don't know that much about amphibians, but I don't ever remember hearing about a cannibalistic frog. But it sounds like, this is an extraordinary show, and I suspect that your research goes even weirder directions. Why don't you tell us about the kind of research you do and what led to your remarkable discovery, and then you can tell us about that discovery.
Okay, one day, being a herpetologist that I am, I work in the usually my backyard. I have a small pond back there, and I collect data on what the frogs' comings and goings are. And one day, while I was out there, all of the frogs that were there disappeared for weeks on end. Just no frogs. And I was concerned that maybe there had been a leak. Because what I like to do is, you know, you're always concerned about if the chemicals from a plant have infected them. They're really good indicator species and will tell you a lot about them. But as I was going through these things, I found no frogs. And I was highly concerned for obviously reasons. Then, as I was making my way out of my back porch, sipping on my Earl Grey tea. I love Earl Grey tea. Let's just get that out of the way.
I'm a Lapsang Souchong fan myself.
Oh, see, we don't have that in Bella Coola, but we do have Earl Grey, and I love the Twinings. I'll call them out for my Twinings fans out there.
Twinings actually does a Lapsang. That was the first Lapsang I had.
Well, now I just look a fool, don't I?
Oh, I wasn't trying to make you look a fool. Maybe you don't have that particular one in Bella Coola. I'm just saying that Twinings does, in fact, make a Lapsang Souchong.
Well, I might check that out. I will check that out, Michael. I like tea, and I think that sounds good. How would you describe the flavor profile?
Well, basically, it's all of the elements that I enjoy in a Scotch whiskey in a tea. So it is basically, it was the way that the Chinese used the lower grade tier of black tea leaves. They would pick them, and they didn't have the flavor that they wanted for their tea. So they would smoke these in huts, and that smoke would infuse the tea. And so it has a very, very rich, deep, bitter, smoky, woody characteristic to it that I just love.
So no bergamot?
No bergamot, no.
I wouldn't like it then, but I appreciate it. So anyway, I'm walking out, close my lovely sliding glass door that faces out into to the mountains. And boom, new frog. There's a new frog there. And I'm thinking to myself, this is a new frog, and I'm glad that there's a species. And as I walk up to it, it turns around and it starts screaming at me.
Screaming?
Screaming. It's saying, where's my food?
In English.
I demand my food. I need it badly. Yeah, in English.
This sounds like the way my cats wake me up in the
morning. Yeah, it was surprisingly like that. And for me, this was an amazing discovery. It's one of the best things that I've ever come across in my world. And I started talking to this frog and communicating with this frog. And that is the frog that I will be bringing on later in this episode.
Well, I was going to say, let's bring that frog on right now, because had I known up front that this frog was in fact sentient and English speaking, well, I feel like I've basically been, you know, it's like when adults talk to each other and just pretend like the child doesn't exist. That really fucks with a child's sense of self, and I don't think it's healthy. And so I feel like now I have maybe done that to this frog. So, frog, welcome to Infinite Horizons Radio. I apologize that I inadvertently ignored you. Tell us your story.
Oh, dark. It's so dark.
Sorry, I have to open up the box.
Oh.
Hey, hello.
Hello,
frog.
Let me take you out and put you in my hand.
Oh, hello, hand. Soft, clammy hand.
Okay.
Hello. Hello.
There, she's landing on the table.
Hello.
So this is our frog, whose name you're a frog.
But what you call him Michael. You are Andrew.
Yeah, I'm Andrew.
What am I?
Well, that's really your decision to make. I mean, as a scientist, I should technically decide that, but also we have never interacted with an animal that is able to name themselves. And I'm surprised we haven't had this conversation before.
Well, there's an interesting conversation to be had there, I think, Andrew, about power dynamics and about, you know, the ability to choose one's own name versus having, say, a colonial identity handed down to not only one as an individual, but one's species.
Yeah, that's what I kind of figured. And being that, I don't know too much about it. I just know that they used to do that, and I've never had this interaction before. So I figured, hey, give it the right to a name, and we'll see what happens from there. So
you said you love Earl Grey.
I do love Earl Grey, yeah.
Can I be Earl Grey?
Sure.
Earl. Call me Earl.
Earl.
All right.
Okay.
Officially, to the world, this is Earl.
Hello.
Hello, Earl.
I am Earl.
Earl, is it Earl or is it Earl Grey? I don't want to, you know, like, accidentally kind of leave out half of your name if, in fact, it is Earl Grey.
Earl is the first. Grey is the last.
So got it.
Earl is fine. Earl. I like Earl because you like Earl. I like Earl.
That's really interesting, kind of. Yeah, I suppose if you want.
What are these things with the big fur on them? What are these things with the poofy shell in front of us? What is this?
Oh, that's a microphone.
Oh.
Yeah, that's called a wind sock. Some people call it a mic condom. Yeah.
Hello.
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 Darlene, can you just push the compression up on that? We're going to have some, we're going to be in the red a little bit there. Sorry about that.
Okay, so this is Earl. Glad that we have a name finally. This is Earl.
Hi.
Earl was the creature I found who had been, number one, eating all of my other frogs. And what was your reason behind that again, Earl?
They're my food. These frogs are my food.
Yeah.
I like food.
Yeah.
Food is my day. I spend all day with my food. And then my eggs. Those are my two things in the day. Food and then eggs.
Food and eggs. I, for a long time, food was my day too. And, you know, I've come to understand that was kind of like just unacknowledged trauma from my childhood. And I've sort of moved past that, and food no longer holds that power.
Food holds all the power.
What about your ex?
My eggs are, once I've eaten my food, these mini frogs, they're so good. They're so soft yet so crunchy. And I love them. I love just catching them and eating them. And
you have frog eggs?
The frogs.
Or the eggs?
The frogs, not my eggs, the frogs. The other frogs in the pond, the little green ones, you know.
Yeah, I know the ones, the forest frogs.
Yeah. And the first day before you saw me, you went around the pond going, "Oh, my frogs. Oh, my frogs."
Yeah, you left like a message for me because you put out all of their little legs in letters saying, "I need frogs, then I need egg."
Yes, I did. I said, "I need frogs, then I need eggs," because I found a human and I realized this gift that I have could work for communication. I could tell the human what I need, and that's why the human now feeds me all the things. Yep, see, there's more frogs.
Here's some frogs. Okay, one second.
So, Earl, why do you need eggs? I understand that you need frogs to make eggs, but why do you need to make eggs?
I need to lay my eggs. I need to create my eggs, because that's all I really want in life. At the end of the day, it's all about eating as many other things as I can so that I can be strong and find that perfect soulmate. That's all I want. I just want a man for my eggs. That's all I want.
So to be completely honest, Michael, the reason that I sent out the email to you was because not only to reveal this scientific discovery, but also to give like a dating profile for the then unnamed Earl, for any other frogs out there who are looking to squirt on some eggs.
It can't be any other small frog. It has to be a frog about my size, but a smaller one than me, but still a frog that I'm not going to eat, that I'm going to love, and that's going to be with me and spray on my eggs.
A dimorphous species, the male smaller than you.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's a very true fact for most species of frogs.
Hello, all that I want. If there's people on the other side of this hairy stick that's here, all that I want is to have a small frog stick to my back and be my man so that we can make beautiful other frogs. That's all that I want in my life. Thank you.
So I do think we're going to have to rethink this effort to reach other members of your species, though, Earl. You have beaten extraordinary odds as the first of your kind to have interacted with a human. To have remained undiscovered for so long indicates to me that your species must be incredibly rare. And then I guess it seems short-sighted to think, hopeful but short-sighted to think, that a broadcast message will in fact reach other members of your species. So I'm just curious if you have thoughts on other ways we might relay this sort of information in signals that frogs might find more useful.
Oh, well, my hope is that somewhere out there, there's a frog like me in someone's home, and through efforts that they try over and over again, they call out people's names. They come up with names and they call out names. And so sometimes I just sit in the pond and I go, "Hey, Greg. Hey, Neil. Hey, Sarah." And then at one point, there was a ding.
Oh, no, that's not a frog. That's not another frog.
But this is what happened before I met you. One day I was talking just out loud, and then there was this robot voice that replied to me to say that it heard me. And my hope is that maybe one day through this podcast or through other frogs calling out, they'll be able to communicate with one of these robots like Alexa or Sarah, and then they'll start to listen to podcasts and they can hear my voice and know that I'm out there for him, my special boy that I will meet one day. I'm hungry.
Okay, one sec here.
This is a crunchy one.
Yes.
I love the crunchy ones. Thank you.
You're welcome. It was one of my favorites. So yeah, we were also considering as a herpetologist, I've done a lot of study on what it takes for frogs to communicate, and a lot of frogs, for male frogs, they have to vocalize by expanding a throat satchel that vibrates and makes extremely loud noises. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, she's getting disturbed. That's what she was looking for. So I kind of figured for us, for our humans, a radio show, especially one that goes coast to coast, will be a great resource in order to send that reverberation in that sense. So maybe we could play this underwater. I'll take this recording. Mm-hmm. I'll play it underwater, so it'll send it further than it could traditionally.
Well, last week's show, we had a lot of talk about sound and resonant frequencies. And so, yeah, maybe we could even use something like those giant fiber optic cables that run at the bottom of the seafloor to send these sorts of signals out, subsonically, vibrationally.
All that I want is for my special song to be heard and to hear a special song and to meet that special boy who will stick onto my back and we will be in love. That's all I want. That's all I want with this. Thank you. Hello. That's all that I want. And food and small frogs.
So,
Andrew, will we make that happen one day?
Well, that's the hope. I'm hoping for
you're
it.
Running out of frogs, Andrew.
I know. I'm not, if anyone has any frogs, by the way, that they do not need and are in abundance, send them my way. I will take care of them and then feed them to this Earl, to Earl.
So, Andrew, you're kind of acting like I was curious about the nature of your relationship with Earl, and it seems like you're almost acting like Earl's wingman.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I would definitely, here in Ballacoola, one of the best things that we like to do, spend the night on the town. What I used to do is go out, hang out with my buddies, swing on in and get them, whoever they were looking for, make them look good, really make them shine. And so I'm kind of bringing my skills from there into this as well. And it's an entirely different game, but it's really convenient that I also happen to have a lot of knowledge about frog species out there, and that she came across me at this time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, I've been thinking a lot about... Sorry, go ahead, Earl.
Oh, he knows so much about pipe artistry that he is able to apply to biology. It's such a beautiful science. Use the two. It's taught me so much about how to woo another species that I very rarely see.
They're one and the same, you know. You just got to do like titration. Titration always works. You know, you're dabbing in that information just until you hit that point where the color changes. Mm. And if you go over, it's going to oversaturate. You don't want that. Mm. So we have long discussions about this.
There's a lot of similarity between pickup artistry and biology. People might be surprised.
Well, real estate has location, location, location. Biology has titration, titration, titration.
That's right. And people are going to say that it's a chemist's game, but they've never tried to find a frog a date.
So, titration, titration, titration. So I was thinking about something. I've been investigating sort of offbeat, unusual, cross-platform ways of marketing the show lately and trying to break out Infinite Horizons Radio to different demographics and that sort of thing. And so what I did last week was I actually wrote my first pop single. I wrote my first Michael McMurtaugh pop single and produced and released that basically as a way to, drive in people from, a younger, hipper kind of kid crowd and get them interested in the sort of topics that we talk about on the show. And yeah, so what I'm thinking is it would be interesting, I think, if there was some sort of, maybe we could write a song together that we could use, we could broadcast on the show, and maybe you could include some sort of like frog-oriented mating signal frequencies and that sort of thing, and really sort of make the content work with the form.
We could help you write a love song for the frog love of my life.
No, we would be helping you, Earl, write a love song to find someone to sit on your back.
A love song for me to find my special boy.
Oh, one second. I've got to spritz you. You're drying up.
Thank you, Andrew.
Yeah, you're welcome. Would you be open to doing that?
Oh, I would love that. All that I want is to have this vocal sound heard so that I can find my special boy and finally be together. And this is the greatest gift that's ever been given to me as a frog, to be able to broadcast my special gift out into the world. I'm so grateful to both of you. We could include this sound, and I could finally find that special boy.
Well, actually, ASMR videos are another sort of cross-platform marketing thing I've been investigating. So you keep crunching that right into the microphone.
And go right up close to the furry stick.
He picks the best frogs. These are so good. Thank you.
Years of research gone down the drain, but worth it. Worth it 100%.
Andrew, do you feed these frogs raw or do you prepare them? It sounded like I had quite a crunch there. I wasn't clear if that was just bones or, say, like a delicious tempura batter.
Oh, I feed them to her raw, but sometimes I do sneak a Dorito chip in there. Mm.
I love Doritos.
Yeah, she kept screaming at me for about Doritos and frogs.
As soon as I discovered Doritos, I started screaming, Doritos! I want Doritos!
I was overstating the screams for sure, but those are the screams.
Doritos!
And this actually is something that I wanted to bring up. It shows that how habituated this animal has become, and how many animals have become habituated to the point where, as if they could speak, they would often call out brand names. They could identify brand.
I don't think other frogs understand just why Doritos are the most superior food that anybody could ever consume. Why would you eat anything besides Doritos? And it baffles me that humans have Doritos and don't exclusively eat Doritos. Doritos!
All right. Doritos! Here, I'll crack open a bag for you.
The smell is just so good. I love it.
It's quite a pungent smell. Earl, what is your favorite Dorito flavor?
Sorry. I hear it's impolite to talk while you're chewing. Also, it takes both of my eyes to swallow my food. So my favorite type of Dorito is sweet chili heat. That's my favorite type of Dorito because it puts that tingling sensation on my tongue.
Yeah, you were saying that that's kind of what you want in a relationship. You want that tingling sensation of a spicy Dorito.
I know that when I meet that special boy, that what will happen is when we kiss, our tongues will tingle like a sweet chili heat Dorito. I know this to be true love. Maybe that could be in the song. We could use that as part of the lyrics in the song.
True love is a spice of a
sweet chili heat Dorito.
I think that's a tune I would listen to down at the clubs when I'm wingmanning.
Well, right off the bat, I'm thinking that Nito rhymes with Dorito. So I don't know. I want a guy to mount my back. I want a guy who's Nito. I want a guy who spices my life like a sweet chili heat Dorito.
Oh, it's a hit. Oh, it's got me tapping my little feet. Oh, I'm so happy. Oh, it's so good. It's going to be such a good song.
What kind of a production direction are you thinking about taking this in, Earl?
Well, the type of music that I've heard is either from Amazon Alexas, coming out of cars that drive around, and whatever Andrew has been listening to. So with that, I would say either Drake, Michael Bublé, or BTS. Any one of those artist genres would be very exciting to me.
I had a really traumatic experience the first time I heard that Korean band, and I now have PTSD.
You want to expand on that?
I'm so sorry.
I just want to hear about the incident.
Oh, about the incident. Yes. Well, basically, I was babysitting my nephew, who is very, very, very interested in all things Korean. He has a whole bunch of those Korean cosmetic face masks. He enjoys. He loves bibimbap bowls. Any sort of Korean slice of life drama, that sort of thing. And of course, K-pop is a huge part of that. So anyway, I was sitting in one night and, well, basically it ended up with me falling asleep on the couch. And that ended up with a sort of Clockwork Orange scenario where I awoke to find myself, having been secured to the armchair that I fell asleep in, with a, what he called a, I think the fellow's name was Jiang something. But anyways, it was a supercut of one of the members, a fan cam supercut of one of the BTS members. And basically, well, I watched that on loop all day until his mother came home. And, you know, it's something I've been dealing with a lot through therapy, through my own art, my writing, even this show in certain ways. But yeah, the lingering memory and the PTSD does remain.
Michael, would it help you or would it make things worse to do a song in the style of BTS to help you get over your PTSD?
I think that it would really work well. I think that it would be kind of a fear factor, confront your demons, just really head on, securing myself in that glass box with those live scorpions.
Exposure therapy.
Yes.
That's
yeah. Yeah, we've talked a lot about it, exposure therapy. There are some very strange topics that we get into when talking.
Well, of course, because I've put Andrew through so much trauma eating all of his research.
All of them, every single one of them.
Yeah.
I'm running very low. Once again, if you have any frogs, please send them to Bella Coola, the place where the Hulk escaped to in the 2008 iteration of the Hulk. And I will know where to pick them up.
And we've had long conversations about this, and I have expressed no regret so far about the frogs that I've eaten, but we're working on it.
And I've made notes. Trust me, that is in the documents about these frogs. They are no remorse.
Some of them didn't sit very well in my stomach, and I'm a little disappointed what I've been fed for that. But we're working past it.
So now I season them all with Doritos.
That's so good. Oh, Doritos. I love Doritos. Are there more Doritos? Can I have more Doritos? Doritos. Thank you.
So, Andrew, what is next for you and Earl besides trying to find a mate and, I suppose, continue to perpetuate this remarkable sentient English-speaking frog species?
Well, we want to go to Spain.
Yeah, that's the first place that we were thinking. Spain, number one, tons of frogs. And it is the original inspirational place for tortillas, which is the inspirational point for Doritos. And so we figured that would be a natural starting point.
Absolutely, just made perfect sense to us to do that.
You're looking for your own sort of senor frog.
Exactly. My own senor frog is exactly it.
Yeah. So I'm going to go there and like tour around collecting frogs, sending out the messages that Earl wishes to relay, and showing the other herpetologists out there what uses we can learn from these frogs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I suppose this could be the start of a really beautiful kind of a relationship like Coco had with the mm-hmm. research scientists that handled her.
Yeah, I was thinking like Jane Goodall. That would also be an equivalent for me, like where it's like, even if we were to separate for like a year or so, I would come back and she would still know me as I am. Andrew.
Yeah, I thought he could maybe just leave me on the beach in Spain for a year and I would have my own fun, you know, before I find that perfect frog. it would also just be worth it while I'm young and single to just enjoy a summer in Barcelona.
Yeah, we're thinking also, since now that we're talking about songs, to be honest, Ibiza is just a hip hop and a hop away from there. And that's a place where if there's a frog like you up there who eats Doritos and eats other frogs, they're going to Ibiza.
And if there's a better place for a wingman than Ibiza, you tell me. We're going to make a great team out there. We just know it.
Andrew Wiebing, Earl Grey, thank you so much for joining me here on Infinite Horizons Radio. Is there anything else you'd like to leave our listeners with today?
Just to send your frogs, because I'm so hungry. Yep. Bella.
Kula, the place where the 2008 iteration of the Hulk was filmed when Bruce Banner makes his escape. I will know where to pick them up. Yeah, if they'll just hop in the river, they'll slide right into my pond. And that's basically just like, that's like setting a platter for our lovely friend Earl here. That's pretty much what we got going on.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you once more to Andrew Wiebing and Earl Grey for appearing on the show. And a big thank you to my special guest improvisers, Ella Jean and Logan Teske. You can follow Ella on Instagram and Twitch at Ella of the Net, and you can follow Logan on Instagram at Embowling Monster. Ella also offers her own podcast production services through her business Mystery Planet. You can check that out at mysteryplanet.net.